We're doing Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Finally, we're up to the 48th chapter. We're in the middle of the 48th chapter. Page Kuf Tzadi in the Eshkol edition. Page Tof Nun Gimel in the Zichron Aharon edition. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Guys, listen closely. We're about to learn fantastic midrashim. Don't expect me to explain them too much because these are deep, light secrets. I can't say dark secrets. They're filled with light. Secrets of the Torah. You're about to enter a realm that is phenomenal. And it's very tempting, as is often the case with Midrashim, to take it literally and forget that there's great depth to what's being said. Unfortunately, I can't give you too much more than the simple meaning. But remember, there's more to what we're about to read than meets the eye. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, Chamesh etzbaot shel yemino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kulan yesod geulot. God is described as having a hand, right? God took us out of Egypt with an outstretched hand. And God is described as having a finger. Etzba Elokimi, the Torah that says that's a finger of God. So the Midrash takes it a step further and says God's five fingers are all the foundation or the secrets behind the redemptions. We have different exiles, we have different redemptions, and the Midrash is going to elaborate. So the secret of each redemption is hidden within each of the fingers. Etz baktana, the smallest finger, what we call in English the pinky. With that, God pointed to Noah what he was to do with the ark. This is how I want you to construct the ark. And the word ze in Tanakh means pointing with a finger. Ze, this, that one. Whenever you have the word ze, it means pointing with a finger. That's why it says about the menorah, ze asher ta'aseh. It says he was pointed with the finger, Machtzis HaShekel, he was pointed with the finger, the new moon, he was pointed with the finger, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, V'Zeh Ma'aseh HaMenorah. So V'Zot HaTorah, we point with the finger too, very good. Levinson's on the ball. Etz Bashniya Laktana, as usual, of course. Etz Bashniya Laktana, the second finger after the smallest finger, what we call in Hebrew the kometz, ba hika et hamitzrim. It is with that finger that Hashem smote the Egyptians. Shneemar etzba Elokim hi. It is a finger of God. Etzba shelishit laktana, the third finger from the smallest one, which is also an interesting way to describe the finger which is called in Amma, the middle finger. Yes, that's called in Amma. So that finger, ba katav taluchot, that's the finger God used to write the two tablets. Now that's interesting, because the first redemption I understood. It was a redemption from the flood. The second redemption I understood, it was a redemption from the Egyptians. What's the third redemption when the two tablets were given? What's that a redemption from? A 100%. That's a redemption from death. Very good. Death. Ani amarti Elokim atem. I have said you are godlike. I will take you out of the decree of death. Meaning, when Adam sins by eating from the forbidden fruit, there is the greatest plague given to the world: death. Now, there is a fantastic insight. It says on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, we have in the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Yaakov says, "Ha'olam hazeh domeh lepozdo. This world is like a hallway bifnei taklin, before a great palace. Hatken atzmecha bepozdo. Prepare yourself in that whole way, kedei shetikanes litraklin, so that you will enter the palace. Hu haya omer, he used to say, yafa shachat b'tshuva umasim tovim ba'olam zeh mikol chayei olam haba. You have a period of doing tshuva and good deeds in this world. It's better than all the world to come. Ve'yafa shachat shel korat ruach ba'olam haba mikol chayei olam zeh. And 1 hour of pleasure in the world to come is greater pleasure than all the pleasure you could have in this world, says Rashi. Because pleasure in this world is finite. Because we always have to deal with problems, and we always live in the shadow of death. So whatever joy you can have in this world is always limited. And in the world to come, it's not limited. You're no longer in the shadow of death. So Rashi, to my mind, this Rashi is a mind-boggling Rashi. Rashi is giving us an insight into all of happiness in this world. All of happiness has this great limitation that you're not going to get it as good as you want it. Because you know there's an end. You know there's going to come the time that the bowling's over, the pizza's finished, you know, it's finite. And in the world to come, it's not. So the great redemption, the biggest finger, is the redemption when the two tablets were given, which the Talmud says was a redemption from death. Had we not sinned with the golden calf, then the world was being elevated to the point where we wouldn't have died. Achen ke'adam temutun, we messed it up again. Adam messed it up as an individual in the Garden of Eden. We messed it up as a nation again in the desert with the golden calf. Just a second. Uri's waiting. Just a second. Yeah.
So I can add another layer of confusion on it because there's some opinions that say that a soul can be forced from heaven into like down to the surface, but he has to do like various...
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you.
There are certain sources in the maybe have like a that soul has to come down on earth to do various tikkunim, that he's forced to, like, you know, he may be allowed in heaven for a little bit and then forced back down here to do a certain tikkun and stuff like that. So, like, is it really unlimited, the flesh in heaven? Like, any of these, you know, it could be, you know, sitting there and, you know, like, oh, well, you know, someday you have to go back down to earth, you know.
I hear you. That's a discussion for when we'll learn Pirkei Avos. That's when we'll get there, Bezat Shem. Or on Thursday night. That's a great point to raise. Yes?
There's 8 billion people currently on the planet.
Huh? 7 billion?
7 billion? It'll be 8 billion by next week, probably. They got 7 to 8 billion people in the world. And the first thing, the first thing in the Torah says, make children and have a wife, something like that, right?
Be fruitful and multiply.
So, I'm going to live forever. What would we be like, walking up out of people? Because for the past 5,600 years, imagine that everybody's got like 15 children because they're doing the right thing and they're all living properly and we're all like thousands of years old. Help me understand that concept. Like, it doesn't seem rational.
I hear you. Did I say the world wouldn't die?
The world what?
Did I say everyone in the world wouldn't die?
Well, you said Adam didn't sin.
That was one thing.
Then we would...
You're going back to Adam.
Right, wasn't that?
Right. Okay, I thought you were talking about the Jewish people at Sinai. You're talking about Adam.
So then the Torah... But the Torah was still there. Because God.
If you're talking about Adam, then you're right. The Talmud says that it was part of God's plan that Adam would sin. It wasn't a mess-up in the planning. Part of the plan was that he would sin.
Okay.
There's more to be said on this topic, but we're going off on a bit of a tangent. Yeah?
I wanted to add something when you said that, according to some Kabbalists, there's a base number of souls, And that they're always looking for for bodies to inhabit. And that's why we're always commanded at church, so you know, these souls can, so there's a base number of souls, right? And so it could be that, you know, we're commanded to be fulfilled and multiply, only to create vessels for those souls to come down in. When that number is, it's, you know, all the vessels are filled and you can't fit anything more in.
Okay. I hear. This concept, by the way, is in the Talmud. But you just said, yeah. Okay, back to our Medrash. Shnemar luchot even ketuvim ve'etzba Elokim. Etzba revi'it shishnia laboen. The fourth finger. Notice that the fingers are counted from the pinky upward. Yeah, so the fourth finger, which is one off of the thumb, which in Hebrew is really called the etzba, ba'era hakadosh baruch hu l'moshe ma'itnu Yisrael b'fidyon nafsham. That's what God used to point at the half a coin which Am Yisrael was supposed to use to redeem their souls. Shneimal ze yitnu. This is what they'll give. What's the redemption in that? What's the redemption in that? So, I think the simple interpretation here is that the half a coin was used for what? Was used for the sacrifices that were brought every day. And when Avraham Avinu asked God, what's going to allow my children to remain in Israel when they sin? So God said, well, they'll have sacrifices. And the Talmud says they'd bring a sacrifice in the morning and a sacrifice at night. That says in the Torah, the Talmud says, that would atone for all the sins. The morning sacrifice would atone for all they did at night. The night sacrifice would atone for all they did by day. So these sacrifices were an integral part of our sovereignty here in Israel. So that half a shekel which we donated was very important. That was our representation in the public sacrifices. So maybe that's the idea the Medrash is alluding to. Habon v'chol hayad, the thumb and the whole hand, ba'atid ha-kadosh baruch hu la'shmid livnei Esav, she'en tzarin livnei Yisrael. God's going to use that to destroy the descendants of Esav as they are afflicting Israel. V'chen livnei Yisrael, Yishmael. The Medrash says, and the descendants of Yishmael too. Interesting, the Medrash is going in line with the opinion of the Medrash Tehillim. The Medrash Shocher Tov, which Rashi and Zechariah quotes, that says that the final enemy of the people of Israel will be a combination of Yishmael and Esav. So here the Medrash too says, the final redemption will be from Esav and Yishmael. Shneimar, Tarom yadcha al tzarecha v'chol oyevecha yikareitu. Your hand will be uplifted against your enemies and all of them will be wiped out.
Wait a second. So you said that the final enemy of Israel is going to be a combination of Esav and Ishmael?
Correct.
And that they're all going to be wiped out, meaning every Christian...
Every European American.
Yeah, so every Caucasian... And every Arab is going to be wiped out, or just people who subscribe to Christianity and Islam? What does that mean in terms of practicality, in terms of like real life?
Why don't we leave it for God?
I need to know this, Rav.
We have many sources that say that the nations will all either convert or at least learn to appreciate that their guiding light should stem from Jerusalem, from Zion. So the question is whether the word lehashmid means to annihilate physically or philosophically. The Gra claims in his interpretation of Megillas Esther that when it says lehashmid, larog ulabed, is it the Gra or Rav Sadia Gaon?
I trust both of them. They're both
right.
Gods.
I think it's the Gra that says that lehashmid over there means to have conversion, that people would switch from their faith. So,
meaning that they would become noachads?
So, I don't know. I don't know what it'll be then. I don't know.
They become bigger tzaddik than we ever have a chance to be.
I don't know. So that's Medrash number one. But the Medrash I was getting all excited about is the idea we're about to read. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Chamesh otiyot shenichpelu b'Torah be'otiyot kulam b'sod ha'geula. We have five letters in Torah that appear twice, meaning that the letter has one form when it's in the middle of the word and another form when it's the final letter of the word. Those letters are minatz pach, mem. You have a mem that's regular in the middle of the word, and you have a mem at the end of the word. It's a different type of mem. You have a nun in the middle of the word, and then you have a nun at the end of the word. Tzadi in the middle, tzadi at the end. Pei in the middle, pei at the end. Chaf in the middle, chaf at the end. Five letters that are doubled, that have two different forms depending on where they show up in the word. Kulam, each of these five letters, indicate part of the secret of redemption. Kaf, chaf. You have a kaf and the kaf that's an end, at the end of the word. Bo nigal avam avinu mukastim. That's the letter that was used in the redemption of Avram from the fire of the kasdim, shneemar, lech lecha me'artzecha. So somehow from the words lech lecha, the Medrash understands that the Chaf was the one that redeemed him. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Okay? Lech lecha me'artzecha. Okay? Okay, there's a lot in the commentaries on this, but maybe it's better that we leave it just as a thought. And one day maybe we'll get back to it. Mem, mem. Boni gali tzak avinu miyad plishtim. Shneemar. Lech me'imanu ki atzamta mimenu me'od. So you have a lot of mems in that pasuk, right? Lech me'imanu ki atzamta mimenu me'od. No mem sofit, right. Okay. Nun, nun, bo nigal Yaakov avinu miyad esav, shneemar hatzilei nina miyad achi miyad esav. So that's maybe also the miyad, mem yud is a nun. Miyad, that's another nun. I don't know. Hatzilei nina. So that's the nun. Pei, fei, bo nigalu avotenu mimitzrayim. Shneemar, pakod, pakadti etchem. So again, twice you have the pei. Pakod, pakadti. So that indicates the idea that somehow with the letter pei we were redeemed. Tzadi, tzadi, bo atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu ligol tisrael b'sof malchut revit. That's the letter with which Hashem will redeem us. V'lomar lehem, tzemach tzimachti lachem. God will say, I made it grow for you like a plant. Just like the plant grows slowly, slowly. If you sit there and watch the plant, you don't notice it's growing. You just come back after a period and you see, wow, it grew. So too the redemption is going to grow. Shneemar, hine ish tzemach shmo, umitachtav yitzmach, uvanatecha l'Hashem. Velo nimseru ha'otiyot ela l'Avram avinu. So Hashem didn't reveal this secret to anyone other than Avram. V'Avraham misaran liYitzchak. Abraham gave them over to Isaac. V'Yitzchak misaran liYaakov. V'Yaakov misaran liYosef. V'Yosef misaran liEchav. Yosef gave over this tradition to the brothers. This is part of the tradition he had, that the redemption from Egypt would be with the letter Pei. And that's why when Moshe came to the scene, let's see. Here, we'll see it right now. V'Asher ben Yaakov masal sod geula l'Serach bat Asher. Yaakov's sons Asher he gave it over to his daughter Serach. Ukshabah Moshe Aaron, it says, Zikne Israel v'asu ha'otot le'inihem. Moshe and Aaron showed up. They did all the signs before the elders. Alchu Zikne Israel, it says, Kenatam Serach bat Asher. So the elders went to the old lady, the old grandmother that was still alive, Serach bat Asher, v'amru l'ba ish v'asa ha'otot le'inihem kach v'chach. They said, a man came and said we should leave. Maybe he's a false Messiah. Should we listen to him? He's telling us he's come to redeem us. Someone else tried doing that earlier, noon, and everyone got killed. So they were scared. So now when Moshe and Aaron come, they say, this man came, these are the signs he made. Should we listen to him?
There was somebody before?
Yeah. Ah, yeah. She said, what do I care if he did miracles? Hey, Chaim, you hear that? What do I care if he did miracles? Go back home. Go to bed. Amrula, listen to that. He walks in. He says, God sent me. Watch. My hand sticking into my shirt. I pull it out. Look, it's white. My staff, bam, throws it on the floor. It turns into a huge snake. They all run away. Look at that. Grabs the tail. Boom, it's a staff again. Give me water. Pours it on the floor. It turns to blood. Moshe Rabbeinu did all these miracles.
Yeah.
They come to Serach Bas Asher. She says, go back to sleep. Who needs that? But he made miracles. And they were real. God's miracles. She said, I don't care.
Who is this one?
She is the great leader of Israel before Moshe and Aaron come to the scene. She is the old, old woman who still had a tradition. She saw Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov's granddaughter. Serach, the daughter of Asher. Huh? We learned about her last night. We said she's the one that kept saying, Yosef's still alive, Yosef's still alive. And Yaakov blessed her to have longevity. So she lived almost 1,000 years. Amrula. So then they said to her, V'alo amar lanu pakot pakati itchem. But he came in and he said, redeem, I have redeemed you. That's what he said in the name of God. Amra lehem o'ish atid ligol tisal mimitzrayim. She said, okay. Then listen to him. He is the real redeemer, because I have a tradition. Shekach shamati me'aba. This is the tradition I have from my father. Pei v'fei, that there's going to be a double pay when it comes to our redemption. Shneimar pakod pakati etchem. Miyad eminu am belokim uv Moshe. Then they believed. They believed Hashem sent him. They believed Moshe was telling the truth. Shneimar. They amen am, the nation believed the Ishmuki Fakad Hashem ibn Israel. Now they accepted that God has come to redeem the people of Israel. So here we have a fantastic midrash telling us some deep secret about the letters. We know that the letters were used to create the world. The letters of Hebrew have all kinds of spiritual strengths. And for whatever reason, the letter that's going to be our final redemption that we're still waiting for is tzaddik and tzaddik, and we're still waiting for that great redemption.
We're in the first couple.